Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
In there, and they deserve to get bounced after one game.
Talking about they were down 32 the other night.
I hope you guys discussed
this.
Tatum
gets 60 points.
We're not acting like this is the same thing, right? Like, well, Bird and 60.
In overtime.
I mean, no, that's my point. So, but people have been serving that up like it's the same type of accomplishment. It is not, right? Hey, so you scored 60
and
how many points?
Don't tell Jason Tatum that.
Well, but it's not the same thing. How is he even remotely close? Hey, I have a rushing record. I rushed for 2,000 yards. I did it in 14 games. Well, yeah, then, 10 years later, they changed the rules so you can you had 16 opportunities to do it. Now 17, so you had three extra chances. Wow, so that record is never – you have to do it in the same amount of time.
Don't let me get into that. Let me set you up with your seed.
What are you
going
to do?
I don't know if he's your seed today. So you get a game in which you missed, in which Marcus Smart threatened an official after the game. He went up and he threatened the official to the point where the league said, screw this, we're going to suspend a guy. So was it the very next game or two games after that? He goes out there and he smacks Nurkic in the balls.
Accident.
An accident.
There's no accident about him. This is a bull crap call, though.
And he expected the officials to side with him. Now, I agree with Lou. I think it was very questionable call.
It looked
like it might have been an accident. Here's the problem. When you threaten an official after the game, those guys, that's a fraternity. The other guys are going, wait a minute, it's Marcus Smart. Screw him. Get out of the game. They threw his ass out.
Good. You guys are falling victim to the whole green team scheme is what you're doing.
Oh, please.
That's what it is. That's what you guys are victims of, the green team scheme. Like, everybody's out to get Marcus Smart because he's such a bad human being.
No, but listen, that was a bull crap call, okay? The guy had a legal screen. He turned around to run. And you move your arms. And he accidentally hit him in a ding-ding.
They tossed him. I don't think anything
he does is incidental. I was more concerned with the reaction. Nobody seemed to care.
Like, wait a minute, he got thrown out?
He got tossed and like scowling. Mike Gorman, it's confused. Who gets the ball? How many texts? How many shots are
there?
There
was a lot of confusion.
Brad Stevens is like, hold on, is he out? Yeah, okay, Pritchard, you're in. He's going over the play. And it's like, nobody with 3 minutes to go in like a 4-point game. No one's upset that Marcus Smart got ejected.
I totally disagree. Well, I mean, with this guy, with his history, you blame the refs? I think he's a dirty player. When it really comes down to it, when things get hectic and he gets frustrated, he's a dirty player. Like, you guys like him, they're sure he'll get the occasional flop and guys will pat him on the back and say he's a tough player, but you watch it. He does dirty things in a game. And especially if he's getting beat, which is really weird because at the time of that foul, when he got thrown out, they were still in the game. They were only down like 3 points. It was less than 2 minutes, but they were in the game. I just feel like he's reckless. He's stupid. Oh, you forget about reckless. He's stupid. Which is crazy because he's really one of the smartest. I sound like Glenn right now. He's one of the smartest players on the team, but he's so dumb. That, to me, is Marcus Smart. For as good as he has seen the court and, making the right pass and, selling out all the time, he's just dumb.
Yeah. Well, the problem
which means he's selfish because he should know better.
We keep on saying he's the heart and the soul and the leader and whatever. Leaders don't do what he's doing right now. They don't do these things. They just don't.
I mean, isn't that the sign of a selfish player?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm so mad I can't contain myself, so I'm going to act out. That's what selfish players do. And then people who enable it, just like a kid, parents who allow their kids to yell and scream and throw a fit in the store in the middle of the aisle and just sit there and go, "Ah, he didn't get his nap." So they kind of excuse it away. That's what the Celtics are doing with Marcus Smart. The same damn thing. They have no choice but to put up with it because it's just Marcus being Marcus.
Well, they had a bad night last night too. With what, the Hawks beat the Blazers back to back nights. The Blazers had back to back nights.
The Knicks don't lose anymore.
The Knicks they don't lose.
They're the hottest team in the league.
So the Celtics what, one game behind Miami, I think, for that play in.
Yes.
They're at Orlando, Chicago, then they get two with Miami. You know, and then it's Cleveland, Minnesota, and they finish with the Knicks. I don't know if the Knicks need it, whatever. So the schedule's there for them. They got two against Miami. You want to do a play-in or not? The problem is I have zero faith in this team, like, reacting to it. Like, I could see them losing a game to, like, Orlando or Chicago or Cleveland or Minnesota, and you're like, really? Well, maybe they even sweep Miami to get, like, tied or ahead of them and then come out and lose to Cleveland and Minnesota, and you're like, really?
So let me ask you,
I just have no faith in this team whatsoever.
How confident do you feel in the Celtics going up against the Charlotte Hornets?
Not good.
In that play-in, based on what you've already seen from Charlotte. And Charlotte, you know, will play hard. We don't know if the Celtics will play hard. Charlotte will play hard.
I don't really feel good about them playing anyone.
But even if you win that, let's say, and you are in, do you want to face the Washington Wizards the way they're playing right now? I'm not sure I want to face them
right
now.
The best case scenario is how do they turn back into the scrappy, you know, overachieving.
Next season, maybe. Off-season, like, they change up a lot of bodies.
How do they turn back into the scrappy, overachieving team instead of the, you know, overrated, elitist team?
So that's the problem. They've lost that grittiness.
That edge.
They've lost that, like, you know, that toughness that you kind of enjoyed with normally Brad Stevens teams. Now they're pretty. Now they bitch. Now they whine. You know what I mean? It's like offensively, defensively, they don't get the call. They don't continue to play. They cry. They're soft. They're soft. They're not tough at all. Emotionally, physically, nothing.
Yeah. So they expect to win.
Yeah,
when they walk onto the court, instead of realizing, man, we have to take this from them. To me, that's part of that's something that is just missing with them.
Well, the ass kissing has continued. I mean, it's been ongoing. Nothing but praise. Tyler wrote about it today, talking about it, and it's coming, you know, even comes from Danny Ainge. We don't need to make any moves. We've been in the conference finals three of the last 4 years. You guys been paying attention? I got great players. I got young players. You know how much they've performed in you know, the NBA playoffs, Eastern Conference Finals? These guys are great. I don't think we have to tinker too much with it. So they just got everybody, like, from the age of, like, 12, how great they all are. And they're still being told how great they are. They have no edge whatsoever. They are finished. They are through. They're done. If they get to the first round, it'll be four games, maybe five, and it'll be over with.
They should be
They
should be embarrassed when they look at the New York Knicks, who are now 9 games over .500, 3 games ahead of them in the standings. When you look at Atlanta, you could talk about injuries. Atlanta's had injuries all season long. This is embarrassing. So Tyler did it today. He really pissed off the Green Teamers. Well, he threw out stats. He threw out analytics. He let his eyes do the talking or the writing in this column today. And he said the Celtics are a selfish, unlikable team. And I'm reading some of the comments that are coming back to him. It's your typical Twitter. Hey, have you ever thought about suicide? You should.
Jeez.
I mean, yeah, no, it's bad stuff.
Death threats?
No, the bombs.
Maybe we should call the Globe.
And we should. We should. I mean, these are death threats that Tyler is getting. Right, Tyler. Would you call them death threats?
All because I put pen to paper exactly what you three just said. They are a selfish team. They're unlikable. They're underachieving. And I wrote that. And I actually tweeted out, the Celtics fans are more mad that I wrote that than about their bad basketball team.
So, it's really pathetic. I'd say a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago, whatever it was, Tyler's diehard basketball fan. Loves basketball, right?
Came in here, heard us talking
about the Celtics and mentioning this term, the Green Teamers. And Tyler coming in all from Jacksonville, right, was like, I don't understand. When you say green teamer, what do you mean by
just
like their fans? Like, is that what you call their now? Today he comes in, he's like, I hate green teamers. Worst fans in the city. Now you know.
The most sensitive fan group I've ever come across in my 8 years in this business. Ever. Like, Jacksonville Jaguars fans, you can call them whatever you want. Like, they will take it. Celtics fans, you say their player is bad, they want you to die and they want your house to burn.
Mm-hmm.
It's really pathetic. I don't know how to explain it.
And I don't know how to explain it either. If you looked at the beginning of the season and the high expectations you had for this team. And here they are sitting right now in the seventh seed in the East. I don't know how you can't be upset. I don't know if you love the team, how you cannot be sitting there saying, this is ridiculous. This is, look at the Knicks. The Knicks. You've laughed at the Knicks green teamers for 30 years. Look at the Knicks. They're looking down at you. I mean, how I'm with you, Tyler. I don't understand why they can't get pissed off. Bruins fans, give them the credit. They get pissed when their team's not doing well. We'll get to them because their team's doing well right now, and they're all aboard. But if it turns in the next week or 2 weeks going into the playoffs, they'll get pissed off.
Well, if they lose in the Stanley Cup, they'll be pissed and say it's a waste of time.
Exactly.
Because they got a set.
Yep. Yep, they do. And the Celtics fans are these green teamers are just the opposite. But I think getting back to your guy, Marcus Smart, Kristen, I'm with you. I think in the offseason, Danny's got to look at the atmosphere because Brad Stevens is not going to change the culture in that locker room. It would have changed by now if he was the guy that could do it. I'm not sure Tatum can do it. I'm not sure Brown can do it. But if you get Marcus Smart out of there, do you not give Tatum and Brown more of an opportunity to really become that leader, take over that locker room?
This is just the wrong team for him to be on.
Yes.
This is I was thinking, okay, where could he thrive? Like, where could great bunch of stars, don't shoot the freaking ball, dude.
Yep.
Golden State.
LeBron won't let him.
Yeah, don't shoot the ball.
Same
Be
thing.
Scrappy.
You like, shut that guy down over there.
And
you
then you're an important, cog in this wheel right now. Like, you're important. Like, we thrive off your energy. Get us extra looks. Get us extra possessions. Like, get the other guy, their star, frustrated. Like, that's what we need from you. We're okay. Listen, if you get thrown out, we'll be okay. We'll survive. They need to – not on this team. The rest of the team, whether it's intimidation – are just fear of just, having to go back and forth over and over and over again with his antics. I just couldn't handle it. If no one's ever going to say it, for everything that he does great, and I'm okay saying, like, there's a lot of things that I love about him, but the up and the down and then just the emotional outburst and the reckless behavior and the selfishness, really, that's too much for me to take.
Christian, the league
I can't take it anymore.
The league called it that he went back and forth with an official during the game. And then when the game was over, so the game is done now, okay? You don't go talking to an official after the game is over. You're emotional. You just lost. The league cited him with using threatening language to an official. Did anybody hear Brad or Danny or anybody else chastise Marcus Smart?
They won't
touch
it. He used
threatening language
to
an official? Are you kidding me? So if I'm another player on that team and I don't have the strong personality that Marcus Smart has, why am I going to give him a hard time when he gets thrown out of a game or he does something stupid? Because the management's not doing it.
You know what I always used to hate? Like, Manny Ramirez, it's like the whole Manny being Manny.
Yeah.
Like that whole, that built-in, tagline, because he was so talented. You kind of, that's just Manny being Manny.
Yeah, but here's the difference. Manny wasn't the leader of any team.
No.
Manny wasn't the vocal leader. Manny wasn't the guy that was like, point.
But they had leaders on that team, though.
The point is that's what it's come to with Marcus. Like, regardless of what his status is, it's just like, forget about explaining it away with evidence or, trying to diffuse it or, dismiss it. That's just Marcus being Marcus. And we have decided as an organization, as a team, that it's worth it for us to put up with that.
Ooh. What a mistake that is. And I think it rubs off on all of your other players. That is bad.
Yeah. So, whatever. It is what it is. I'm not going to worry. I mean, like, if they should literally... Oh, I'm looking at the clock right now. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. We're going to talk Bruins.
Thank you. We're going to talk Celtics. We're going to talk
that
Bruins.
On you,
so, the Bruins clinched a playoff
spot. Blame it on you.
They beat the Devils last night in New Jersey. And as we said, if things don't go well in the next few weeks, Bruins will turn. The fans will turn on them. We'll get to the Bs coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Follow the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
I want you to say something really stupid. And then when you say it, I'm going to go, idiot.
Now back to OMF.
We're going to get to these Celtics calls because apparently they're as pissed as Tyler is. That's what I'm hearing. But we do have to mention the Bruins, who clinched that playoff spot last night. And I'm looking at the latest odds out in Vegas. They are the sixth highest favorite to win the Stanley Cup.
You got odds? Right. What are they?
They are plus 1,100.
I take it.
Colorado, Vegas, Toronto, Tampa Bay, Carolina, and then the Bruins. So they're above everybody in their division right now. So ahead of Pittsburgh, who's just behind them at plus 1,300, Caps plus 1,500, and the Islanders plus 1,700.
Oh, I'm in.
You know, I know they've been playing great, and what is the record? 10-2 since the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but do you guys, like, you know, look at any of the teams that they're playing and go, it could be a little suspect based on, because the teams, like, that they're beating
Buffalo
for the most part.
Didn't care about Buffalo.
Jersey's not in it. They just beat Jersey.
Pittsburgh's good, though. Washington's good.
Pittsburgh's
the Islanders,
good.
They couldn't beat the Islanders earlier in the season. I would say this, Christian. It's the great unknown going into the Stanley Cup playoffs because you have no idea how you match up against these teams outside the division. Now, the Maple Leafs are the third highest on the board at plus 600. I don't know. What are the Maple? I don't know. I mean, all those teams are playing the Canadian teams. They're all playing in one division.
Yeah, listen, I think they you know, what they're like on a given night matching up against them, whatever. But I'm pretty sure they got an idea. You know, I mean, they saw them, you know, the year before, whatever it is. It's like similar teams, right? Added pieces. So they got a pretty good idea. I just think they're rolling. Like, they're rolling. I mean, it's just because it's the second line. And now all of a sudden the third line is kind of contributing and they're goaltending and they're getting some guys back healthy-wise, defensively. It's just... it's kind of coming into place right now.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but don't you feel better about Tuukka Rask in that? And he's been good. But if it happens that maybe he comes down with the flu or something happens, to me, Swayman gives you that insurance policy.
Yeah,
he does. He gives you the insurance policy. You got a backup right now that you can depend on.
I thought it was interesting having Halak in there tonight, but I guess, you know, you got to give him a start here and there.
I mean,
you
got
to give him an opportunity to kind of compete for it. But I think everybody is you know, Tuukka's your goalie. I don't think Swayman I love right now, but no, Tuukka's your goalie in the postseason. But I think people want Swayman there, you know, as a backup.
And they're getting everybody back. Yeah. Carlos back. They're getting everybody back. So I wouldn't worry about them. To me, they're going to be the team in this city that's got the best opportunity now to go and win the whole thing. But as we said in the last segment, if they don't, Bruins fans are going to be pissed. So how pissed are the Green Teamers now?
You're the
seventh seed. You're down to 2 weeks left in the season. Here's Anthony in a car. Anthony.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey.
You know, I'm 51. I've been following the Celtics since I was 11. I love them. I lose sleep when they lose. I haven't even watched them this year because I hate them. I hate them.
Well, if you haven't watched them, how do you know?
You know, I mean, I've watched them, but I can't even watch a whole game. They're awful. It's the most selfish, lousy brand of basketball I've ever seen. And I know you guys don't want to hear about the competition, but Mike Gorman did an interview, and he spelled out what your guy said in that article, that it's Brown and Tatum that are their best players, and they're two of the most selfish players I've ever seen in my life. And Brad Stevens isn't going to fix it, so... Yeah. They just got to make trades.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's 2021 in the NBA, and once you become a star, you haven't won anything.
See, I become an individual
brand and star.
I think the feelings of like guys like Tatum and Brown, I still put all that blame on Danny Ainge by what he put around them. Because when you say they're selfish players, they're both scorers. They're young players in this league who score. That's what they do. So it's like, you know, they didn't put any adults around them or any kind of leaders around them. They didn't put guys to be a facilitator around them. So now you start to look in and say, yeah, Tatum put up 60, but whatever. He's selfish. All he does is score. Yeah, it's not his fault. You know what I mean? He's a great scorer. And Jaylen Brown's a good player.
Yeah.
But I think because of the lack of pieces, he didn't build a basketball team. He just tried to put some talent on the floor and thought maybe it would mix. And because of that, now we're sort of looking at these guys saying, they got to do more than scoring. You know, that's like having a guy that's like a 300 hitter, doesn't hit home runs, and blaming him for not hitting, the team doesn't hit home runs.
He doesn't bunt enough.
No, but it's like, dude, the team's not hitting home runs. It's his fault. He's not a home run hitter. Yeah, he hits 300. He gets on base. Yeah. It's not his fault.
But the great players in the game have to be more than just scores.
Okay? Well, I get it. But when you look at Tatum, he's a scorer.
Yep.
And we're crushing him for it.
Yep. No, you know, I'm not crushing him for scoring. He's a great scorer. I do believe he's got to expand his game. And I think at his age, I still think he has a good chance to expand his game.
He can. Yeah. But, I mean, to ask him to do it in, like, you know, the second year when he's kind of come on the scene. Yeah. Right? Like the second year, it's okay. Last year you came on a senior, third team All NBA. Now here we go. Next year, be the complete basketball player that you should be. Well, Jesus, I mean, you know, can you give it a little bit of time? I got an idea. Why don't you go out and replace a guy like Gordon Hayward who can facilitate, and maybe the whole team would be that much better, and then maybe people wouldn't start trashing me because I'm just doing what I do, and what I do is score. Now all of a sudden they want me to be a freaking point forward. Like that's just not him. You know, and I put a lot of blame on, if you don't like what you're seeing from Jason Tatum, and I know at times it frustrates me too, because I like for him to be maybe something he's not. And he's just not. GM didn't recognize and didn't surround him with someone that could maybe help him.
But you're right that some of the skill set between him and Brown is replicated.
Is that their fault? That's who they are.
No, and it might make sense in the offseason to go get a guy like Bradley Beal who won't give you the defense that Jaylen Brown will give you, but he can be more of that facilitator. He's also more of a leader, and he's a veteran. He's going to be 28 years old. So he gives you a little bit more of that. Here's John in a car next up here on EEI. Hi, John.
Hey, Glenn. This is going to be strange to say. Thank you for being a voice of reason here today in basketball.
It's strange
to say that, but Glenn. Well, no, you're being reasonable, Glenn. I just don't understand. Like you're in the soap opera land as the world turns. On Friday, you were telling us that we probably have to trade Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown because I don't think either one of them can be a leader. Then Jason went out and scored 30, and now we have to trade Marcus Smart because Jaylen and Jason are leaders. This is literally like
John.
So what is it? I mean, it's just you turn things around every day. So
that's probably why
Celtics fans get frustrated with you. I know
you
know everything.
John, Do you want me to respond or you just want to talk? So I can respond if you'd like. I wasn't the one that said that those two guys are not leaders or couldn't be leaders. That was Mike Gorman. That was the play-by-play voice, TV voice of the Boston Celtics who said that. Okay? I don't know either one of those kids.
On the show on Friday. No. On the show on Friday, you said, I think in the offseason, you have to look into trading Jaylen or Jason because I don't think either of them.
I never said trade Tatum. I don't want to trade Tatum. I never said trade Tatum.
Okay, you've been on the Jaylen Marcus Smart thing.
Jason.
Right.
You said, no, and that's what you're saying today.
No, I think you're right. Well, hold on, John. Lou is right. Lou is right. The two guys replicate each other, and that is a problem. So you have two guys that both can score. One night one guy does it, the next night the other guy does it, whoever is hot that night. Okay? So what you need is you need somebody that's going to be more of a facilitator. I would not trade Tatum.
So just to be clear, now we have to trade Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart.
Well, Marcus Smart is a totally different story. The reason I would trade
So that is what you said today.
I'll tell you what. I'll answer it when you're off the air. The reason I would trade Marcus Smart is because he is your de facto leader, and it doesn't work right now. I don't see how people can't see that. And maybe he intimidates Brown. Maybe he intimidates Tatum. You don't want him. So if you want Tatum and Brown to emerge as your leader, I have no idea whether they can do it. I don't know either one of those guys. I'm just telling you what Mike Gorman said. I would say you move Marcus Smart out of there so you give Tatum an opportunity or Brown an opportunity to emerge as that leader.
But you got to sit back. And like I said, sometimes you have to sit back and say, how many players are we going to trade away to placate both of them?
That's a good point.
I mean, you got to get rid of Kyrie. in order for these two to grow. Now you got to get rid of Marcus Smart in order for these two to grow. Maybe they just are what they are. Like maybe you just you want to still move Marcus Smart? That's fine because you don't like him. Maybe he just doesn't fit anymore with your team. Maybe he's too much of a voice. I don't know. But it's not trade away these guys to make them grow. They are what they are. Just find the right veteran to come in here and play with them. Find that leader. You keep mentioning about a guy like Chris Paul. Perfect. You know what I mean? Maybe like that former star, and I don't want to rip Chris Paul, but, you know, it's not exactly the same player. Still a very good player. Very good player. You know, but is he, you know, he's not the best point guard in the game. Like, maybe he was at one point, but, like, maybe find that aging guy that come in here and be the adult in the room. So maybe it's not even Marcus Smart. Maybe it's, you know, how do you move on from Kemba and fill that spot? Maybe you don't have to move on from Kemba. But find a different voice other than Marcus Smart, because eventually you keep moving guys to kind of appease these two, and what are you left with?
Listen, I don't want to trade both of them away. And to me, you can't find guys out there that can go and give you 50, 60 points on given nights in the NBA. You just can't find those guys. So to me, I'm holding on to Tatum. But does anybody not think that when you look around this team right now, that they need an overhaul? And they need a lot, but they need an overhaul. They're the freaking 7 seed right now. There's not a single green teamer out there that called a 7 seed or a 6 seed before the season began. Not a single one. All right, it's a big deal or no big deal. It's a lifestyle, and it's coming up next.
Follow him on Twitter at Christian Fourier.
I heard you hate old people and puppies. Nope, just puppies. Hate puppies.
It's OMF on WEEI.
You got anything to say for yourself?
We didn't think it was that big a deal.
No big deal.
It's a big deal.
Big deal.
Big deal.
Kind of a big deal in New England right now.
No big deal.
Not that big a deal.
Not a big deal, huh?
Why does that make such a big deal? I don't understand that.
No big deal.
Big deal.
Is Joe Biden getting a bad deal here?
Big deal, no big deal. Brought to you by Leonard Hair Transplant Associates. Losing your hair, kind of a big deal, guys. Treating it with Dr. Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates. Not a big deal. Call them right now or call them tomorrow, but make sure you call them at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Mm. All right, guys. So listen, a lot of draft talk, giving guys grades and teams grades and who did best and who did worse. The thing that's starting to drive me nuts, and I'm just going to just start with, it is a big deal for me. I'm going to get what you guys have to say. Like the draft room post-celebration. Like when teams and GMs make a pick and they go into this long, drawn-out, over-exaggerated celebration after making a pick of somebody that they knew they were going to make in the first place. For example, I'll let you hear what happened in the war room of the Detroit Lions along with our good friend, PC Principal Dan Campbell, and the new GM of the Detroit Lions, Brad Holmes.
Hey, it's one pride over here, man. We want you in this pride, all right? You're going to be a big part of what we're doing going forward, all right, man?
We're fired up, man. Hey, listen, I'm going to turn you over to our owner, all right? Sheila Ford Ham, all right? So just a minute here. All right, brother.
Wow! That's a very exciting draft room. That's
here. Outstanding. That's outstanding.
Wow!
Damn.
So,
okay, Glenn, Jesus. I'll start with you. Pandering to the cameras, big deal or no big deal by the Detroit Lions?
It's not a big deal. I saw Seattle, Pete Carroll. I saw some of his interaction with the phone calls with the draft picks. Give me a break. I mean, God, it was just obnoxious. Obnoxious.
Yeah, I think it's all fake.
It's the seventh pick in the draft.
I know.
They knew he was going to be there.
I think it's all fake. I think it's a joke. But I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't. Just like I don't think Bill Belichick not going over the top when he... you know, got the call in for Mac Jones. Like, no. I just don't think the reactions...
That's Bill.
You know, yeah. And I mean, Dan Campbell? He was shocked that Dan Campbell would be like that. He knew the cameras were on him. He wants to excite his Detroit Lion fans. Look how excited I am for this guy. You should be too. This guy's going to knock you down, then bite your ankle, then get off you up, then bite your ankle again.
Did you hear the tagline? So the new tagline is One Pride.
One Pride.
One Pride.
Hey, one Pride over here, man. We want you in this pride, all right?
We want you in this pride because, you know, they're the Lions and Lions running backs. So to me, this is so – I get colleges doing this when they sign, like, letters of intent, that whole national letter of intent, and the faxes come through, and guys are, woo, hey, we flipped them. He's not going to Alabama. Like, these guys are treating it like it's so like the like landing on the moon. So this here here's what is this the Curiosity,
it's
the
Curiosity rover.
Rover when it landed on Mars.
Tango Dallas, you remain strong.
Tango Delta nominal.
Oh. Yep. You feel calm? Configure
me stable.
UHF telemetry.
UHF stable.
UHF is good. Touchdown confirmed. We're safe on Mars.
Okay.
Wow! That's a big deal.
That's outstanding. It's but no, but it's to
that's
me it's so different. But
they've
they're
been
acting
on
like
that for years.
10 months. 10 months. This thing. It
who'd
took
they get?
This thing to Panay get there.
Sewell?
Panay Sewell, tackle
they
out of Oregon.
Dude, it's a championship. That's it.
The
championship.
Thing is
we
the,
got it.
You're the first piece of the pride.
Yeah.
One pride. You're the you're Mufasa.
Yeah.
You're gonna lead us.
We're gonna protect Jared Goff. Ready to go, man. Let's go, championship.
To me, it's a big deal because they don't need it. Like, there's a reason why the Patriots and Bill Belichick, listen, we're adults. Let's act like we're adults. We've been there before. They don't need to go overboard yelling it. The Denver Broncos did it. Everybody, like, you know, slapping hands. Like, they just landed on the moon.
Hey, Fletch, what's up, bro?
What's up, brother?
You coming or what?
Trying to figure it out right now.
No. I just drafted you. You coming or what?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, bro.
No, you
yeah.
did not.
Yeah. Welcome to Carolina.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man. Welcome to Carolina Panthers.
I like that, though.
I did like that one.
So that was Matt Rhule.
He thought he was coming in as just an undrafted free agent.
There was a long snapper. They actually drafted a long snapper. Matt Rhule was calling to tell him that we actually wasted a draft pick on a guy that literally may play five times out of a game.
Dude, let's go, baby.
You ready? You ready?
Are you kidding me? Am I ready? I'll walk my happy ass to Carolina right now, dude.
Yeah, that's good.
Because you're going to pay me to snap the ball. All right, so listen. So you guys know who Tom Wilson is, right?
Yes.
This guy, I tell you what, I don't know what we're going to do with him, but he has been fined. We've been reading about it in trending. He was fined $5,000, the maximum allowable under the CBA, for roughing New York Rangers Pavel Buchnevich.
Who do it?
Buchnevich.
He just went over it.
Buchnevich.
Okay.
All right, so here's the deal. So the guy's, to me, is one dirty freaking player. But a former hockey player, John Scott, has some thoughts on this.
Ooh,
John
Scott.
George Parros completely dropped not only the ball, he dropped everything. Dropped his drawers, dropped everything. It was a joke of a fine. And listen, I love this type of hockey. I think we all do. But what Tom did was just, you can't, there's no excuse for that. It's just, it's insane to me that he only got a $5,000 fine. What this means, though, is that it's fair game, baby, in any scrum. It's honestly fair game. If you go into a scrum anywhere on the ice and you see a star player, I'm throwing sucker punches. I'm grabbing this guy. I'm twisting ankles. I'm doing whatever I can because the worst thing that's going to happen to me is a $5,000 suspension because I can't see anybody doing more than what Tom Wilson did to Panarin.
So what do you think, Lou? Tom Wilson, only $5,000, only a $5,000 fine, and then next thing you know, anything goes under the scrum.
I think it's a big deal, and we talk about the unions, and I get it, protecting the players, but, I mean, it just feels dirty, doesn't it? Like, watching this guy run around the ice, doing what he does, we've seen it firsthand in
Boston.
He didn't
have a helmet on.
$5,000. And what he did to Panarin at the bottom of that pile, and nothing. He's not even getting in person, so he's not going to get suspended.
So
like how many times do you have to do stuff before you get suspended in this league? And usually they're very good about that. Like past what they've done in the past definitely plays in it. With this guy, it seems like anything goes. He can do whatever he wants. And it's a joke.
Yeah, it's a big deal. He should be suspended. I have no idea why they keep on throwing $5,000 fines out at Tom Wilson. But I think it's hysterical that John Scott, who, and the only reason he was in the league is because he could fight, because he couldn't skate, couldn't score, he couldn't do anything else. That's hilarious that he's sitting there questioning it. That's funny.
See, my thing is like this is the CBA's way of protecting their players and their money. Like, listen, it's only gonna be $5,000. So we've run into this situation with other instances with hockey players where they do something terrible, and it should require almost an arrest on the ice, yet nothing happens because, you know, CBA says it can only be $5,000. Last one real quick, but I just thought, for some reason, I don't know why this stood out to me, when billionaires get divorced. and they half know. So I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Bill Gates is actually getting divorced.
Than the common folk, right?
But here you go, Glenn. I'm gonna start with you on this one. Yeah. So Bill Gates is getting a divorce from Melinda Gates, and they didn't have a prenup. Big deal or no big deal?
That's a big deal.
We want prenup.
Yeah. Unbelievable. That's going to be like a $50 billion big deal right there.
So when Jeff Bezos got divorced, obviously everybody knows him.
Well, Bezos.
Bezos.
We all know him.
I always call him Bezos.
Yeah.
So let me see. So he had $159 billion. That's what he was worth. After the divorce, it went to $121 billion 2 years later. Now he's back up to $202 billion.
Yeah, because he's thriving during the pandemic.
I know,
it's
right?
Great for him.
So Bill Gates, we're wondering if that'll be the same percentage. What do you think, Lou? As fortune could fall to, he's at $98 billion. When the pandemic began, it was again at $98 billion.
He'll be fine.
I mean, it's huge. How do you not have that prenup? How's that not happen?
I mean, because they've been married, 20 years?
You're in love, Lou.
And it wasn't like he wasn't a billionaire 20 years ago. He was a billionaire 20 years ago. Or maybe you just think, I have so much money, I don't care.
Maybe he doesn't care.
So right? What if I have, instead of having $90 billion, I have $40
billion. Yeah, $45.
I mean, really, how much do you need? We bitching and complaining, you know, Terry Bradshaw bitching and complaining about Aaron Rodgers. Hey, man, you have so much money. What are you worried about? What do you think Bill Gates is
You know what? No big deal. You're right. I mean, unless he's 20 years, she's the support, right? She's the support. So
yes.
She helped support him through these tough times.
Yeah, it was like them three.
He was
like
really
Paul
struggling
Allen
when they
Bill
first
Gates.
Met. There's no question about it. So, yeah. So I think, hey, listen, good for him. He's made so much money.
$90 billion.
I mean, Jesus.
I find it hard to really get all worked up about rich people who get divorced. Like, they're
like
really going
to
be hurting? They're
like,
really
not rich. Not rich people. Like, yeah. That's rich,
No,
rich.
This is beyond rich.
Yeah.
Yeah,
beyond but the fact is, so now it's like he's hired, like, you know, can you imagine the lawyers that he's hiring? He's hiring a team of lawyers right now because of that reason. And I would even say, even if you had a prenup, it wouldn't hold up.
Well, think about it. Now, you're sitting there saying, okay, she wants $44 billion. I'm trying to get her 43. You're fighting for that billion.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah, who gets the house on the
Lake
Washington? Wait, I'm talking about it's $1 billion. This is like arbitration when you're fighting for like 100,000. No. She wants 42. I want to give her 41.
No, they
trying to save
already,
$1 billion
they,
over here.
They already announced a few years ago, Bill and Melinda Gates, that they were giving up all of their money to charity.
Not anymore.
They did. They
not anymore.
They came
not anymore.
Not her side. She's like, I'm joking. Just kidding.
All of their money to charity.
It happening.
No, that's when they die.
Right.
That's when they die. And the other rule in that was that their kids.
They were only giving the kids
too?
A little bit of money.
Yeah.
That was right. Only like a couple of million each or something like that.
Oh, they want them to start off, you know, make their own life.
Yeah, the kids die too.
Yeah, that whole like giving it to charity, gotta have to take that little bit of that back.
Well, kids, they only get like $10 million to start their lives.
Yeah.
It's all right, though.
So I wonder if they're still giving it to charity or whether they're keeping it now.
Nah, it's there. We have to adjust that just a little bit.
You have to give up the yacht now? Oh, no.
Damn.
You don't give up the yacht. Yeah. You get a smaller yacht.
Oh.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah. That's it.
Brady's
that's
getting a bigger one.
You
see
there you
Brady's
go.
Trading in his boat and getting a bigger boat?
He is.
See that?
$7 million
boat. Has Giselle not told him about the fumes and the carbon footprint and stuff
so
like that?
So he's getting rid of that boat that he hasn't even had for a year?
He's getting a 78-foot yacht.
Oh, he's never going to leave Tampa, is he?
No.
He's never going to leave Tampa.
He liked that boat, but then in the parade, he probably saw a couple that were bigger. I can't really fit everybody.
It's freezing cold. There was nothing like this.
He's probably thinking ahead. He's like, next year when we do this boat parade, I'll be able to like have the whole team on my boat.
Do you think that if
we could all roll on my boat?
Because we're seeing a completely different Tom Brady. He's active on Twitter. He's given his opinion. He's not worried about anything that he says. If he was on a different team, let's just say he was with the Green Bay Packers and roles were reversed. Would he be acting like Aaron Rodgers right now, just kind of, you know, dinkish?
No.
You don't think so?
No, he just wouldn't be like having like as much fun as he is down in like Florida.
I don't know. I think the environment had a lot to do with the way he is. Look at him right now.
Oh, he's
styling. If he's not winning, he wouldn't be winning in Green Bay. They wouldn't be going out and getting him the toys, the resources. That's what Aaron Rodgers is bitching about. Brady would be the same way. He'd be bitching right now in Green Bay.
Well, he was somewhat bitching here, right? I mean, it was similar.
Maybe one day I will be an owner and I can make all the decisions. Hey.
The man who had everything's life got better.
Brady.
You know,
yes.
When you put it like that, it really does suck.
No, really. I mean, the man that's like just had everything went to Tampa, and his life got better.
Like, you cannot write it any better
than
the way it ended.
78-foot yacht.
It got better.
Smaller than John Henry's, though.
His parade
John
shorts,
John Henry's
is
like
flip-flops,
or something like that.
$7 million boats. Oh, yeah, it's better.
Yep.
His life's better.
Well, he's going to have to throw a little bit farther. If he actually does win it and he has to throw the trophy again, he's going to have to, you know, get a little stronger. That's a big deal, no big deal.
All right,
we get back to the phone calls because Celtics fans are still pissed off. This is a good sign. The Green Teamers are pissed. Here's Dan up in Maine. Hello, Dan.
Good afternoon, fellas. How are you?
Great.
Yeah, I've been watching the Celtics for a very long time, about 50 years, and this has got to be one of the most frustrating teams to watch.
Yeah.
While I think they have some good players, they're not a good team. And they just don't play well together. And Marcus Smart drives me nuts. You know, I mean, last game he took a shot in the head, and you're thinking to yourself, is he really hurt or is he really not hurt? Because he flops so much of the time. And I just don't think he's a good leader on the court. And honestly, if he actually said threatening words to a referee, I mean, if I'm Danny Ainge, I'm pulling him aside and we're having a conversation and Lord knows what goes from there because you're setting the tone. This team doesn't put the effort in on the defensive end and they decide to show up once in a while and then other times it's like, forget it. You know, it's fun to watch the young kids. I mean, the Pritchards and the Neesmiths, they're actually giving at least the effort. But these other guys, I don't know. It's really frustrating to watch.
Yeah, I think he's right, though, that they do it in spurts. So for spurts, you're sitting there going, oh, I love this team. They're playing really well. And then you just wait because eventually they will go back to their old ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just as simple as that. They have talent, but they're just not a good team. I mean, there's a lot of teams that have talented players that just can't win. I mean, the expectations are – like that's what I said earlier. Okay, how are they going to find that grittiness? How are they going to sit there and become go back to the overachieving, scrappy team?
Because
that
not-
no, so because now nobody thinks you can win. This should be the best thing for you. No one thinks you can do crap. You're going to end up being in that playing game, and no one thinks you can win it.
Does that inspire, motivate them?
Number one,
but does that motivate them at all?
I just don't think they're willing to put the effort in to play defense.
Right.
Like, I just don't think they're willing to do it. I don't think they have it in them. I don't. And you talk about, like, oh, maybe they can flip the switch. Like, to me, when that Kyrie Irving team, you know, and Hayward and everybody, Brown, Tatum, Smart, you name it, it was like even Average Al. You sat there and said, okay, can they flip the switch? Because at one point in the year, we saw what it looked like. Like, they were playing really good basketball at one point. This team, I don't really know if you can pinpoint to, like, a week, 10-day stretch where you said, oh, yeah, they're locked in. Without, you know, playing against, like, say, the Lakers without LeBron and Anthony Davis. You know what I mean? Without playing teams, without their best players, I don't know what the switch looks like. But in the bottom line is, I just don't think they're willing to put the effort in to play defense because that's where it has to start.
Yeah, I already said it. I wouldn't have great confidence in them in the play-in tournament. I wouldn't. Because you don't know what you're going to get, and the other teams might play harder than you. And I've heard, he brought up Neesmith's name, and I've heard that already, and people on social media the last 2 days.
I love him now.
Oh, yeah. He's better than Marcus Smart. Let's stop that, okay? We understand the faults of Marcus Smart and where he might be hurting the team, but let's not suddenly adopt Neesmith as the next
Marcus
Smart.
See, what you got to decide right now, and this is where it gets hard, right? Because we keep talking about play the kids. Remember earlier, play the kids. Pritchard,
yep.
Neesmith, whatever. Robert Williams. Because then in the offseason, now you have some assets
Bingo.
To actually trade and acquire maybe the missing piece. But this is what happens with fans, and it's not just Celtics, it's all sports. When you see Naismith playing well, or you see Pritchard playing well, and you see Robert Williams, and now you don't want to give him up.
Like 3 games.
You know, so you want them to play really well so you can get what you need for them, but when you see them playing really well, you start believing in them, and you don't want to give them up.
Well, that's
the
problem.
This happens very often. Yeah, well, so you got to decide.
Would you rather
they can't. They're too back and forth. And I would even say, even the people who rip people for calling the fans Green Teamers are the one who are just unbelievably delusional. It's the refusal to admit that other people don't like your team. It's like it's almost like this, how could you not love this team? How could you not love the Boston Celtics? Look at the history. Look at all the championships. Look at all the retired numbers. I mean, there's just years and years and years of success. Give them the benefit of the doubt, son.
But that should be a bigger problem for them because they're not raising their game up to the standards of all of those teams up there with the banners. That's the biggest problem, I think. Here's Dan in Worcester next up, wants to talk about the Seas. Go ahead, Dan.
Dan.
Yo.
Go ahead, Dan.
Hey. Yep.
Hello?
Yeah, hey. You're on, Dan.
Hey. So, yeah. So, I want to say is that, yeah, the guy that was talking before, Dan, I guess the Dans are smart today. I completely agree with almost everything he said, right? And the play-in game, just to go over the other three teams that looks like it's going to be in it, Charlotte, Indiana, Washington, those aren't bad teams. Those are not bad teams.
I know.
Indiana has got their guy back, Caris LeVert, and Washington has Russell Westbrook getting triple-doubles left and right. So.
Okay. We agree, and we've already seen them against Charlotte. They but, don't play get as upset. Hard as Charlotte does.
People that get upset that call your team unlikable aren't real fans. Because if you're real fans, you see it. You don't like them either. I'm a real fan of the Red Sox. They've had some extremely unlikable teams. So, I mean, you're a big fan of the Celtics. You watch them every night. Did you enjoy watching a Kyrie Irving Celtics team? Like, you're a diehard Celtics fan, and you're disappointed because you don't like your own team. You should be even more upset rather than just sit there and say, well, I'm a Celtics fan. I don't care if they frustrate me and don't play hard and are inconsistent and, you know, and don't play defense and don't give me an effort and get embarrassed. Like, then you don't really like the team, do you? See, you should be upset with them.
See, to me, it's
not
even,
the person that calls them out.
Yeah, Lou, to me, it's more even more frustrating when you look at the second half of that game the other night where they came from 32 down, okay? Because that tells me that they have the ability to do it. But why did they get themselves into a hole where they fell behind by 32 points? Nobody wants to talk about that because they do that far too often. That is a major problem with this team. This hour of OMF brought to you by McFarlane Energy, South Shore Heating and Cooling's AC Incentives. We'll take more of your phone calls, and we'll get into this whole Mac Jones phenomenon. The big fella's back. He's got some 2 cents on what he thinks about Mac Jones as well.